wait for it. You'll come around like I've prayed for it. Wearing your cross on my chain for it. Even the blind to believe.
Hi, my name is Pablo, and welcome back to another episode of the Back Catalog Podcast with Pablo the Don. The song you just heard is Take Care by Charlotte Day Wilson featuring Sid, and it's on Charlotte Day Wilson's brand new album, Alpha. It's been a fucking long time since I've done that intro or talked to y'all, so I'm excited to be back and to be rerunning the podcast again. This episode is going to be super fun. It's basically just going to be me catching up with y'all, telling you about everything I've been listening to, what I've been watching on TV, and essentially just where I've been. So I hope you enjoy this episode. Make sure you're following us on Instagram at @BackCatalogPod. Catalog spelled the American way, C-A-T-A-L-O-G. Make sure you're following me on all my social medias, which are linked in this description. And make sure you check out the playlist that goes along with this episode, as it's going to have all the music that I was talking about, as well as some extra goodies, and also follow me on Spotify and Apple Music. So the last time you guys heard my voice, it was in an interview with For Your Rotation, where we talked about how they came up with the concept for Your Rotation, where they met each other, and what they plan on doing in the future. And I want to say thank you to Tommy and Andy once again for being the first interview guests on the podcast. Since then, I've essentially just been on TikTok making a bunch of content, trying to get a job at NPR, and listening to a lot of good music. In that time on TikTok, I was stitched by Lizzo, and that video was viewed over 2 million times. Like I said, I applied for the NPR position for associate producer, got hit up by a lot of other places to come and work for them, and I've been trying to find my way somehow into this music industry in a more traditional setting as well. Life has been really, really good to me, and I owe a lot of that to all the support that you guys give me on both TikTok and on this podcast, on my Instagram, and on my Twitter at this point too. Right now, a lot of the things I'm doing on TikTok is catching up on albums that I missed and didn't review on the podcast. That's been going okay. My TikTok right now is kind of in a weird ass purgatory where certain videos will do amazing and then a lot of my reviews won't do as well. So I'm trying to figure out if I want to keep the review content there or bring it back over to the podcast and only do big reviews on the TikTok account. But in general, I know y'all don't care too much about what I've been doing in my personal life. I know you want to hear about the music that I've been listening to and what I've been doing. But before we get to all that, there's a sponsor for the podcast, and I'm super, super excited to talk about them. Support for the Back Catalog Podcast is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in below-the-waist grooming and hygiene. Manscaped offers precision engineering tools for your family jewels. Manscaped just launched their fourth generation trimmer, the Lawnmower 4.0. You heard that right, the 4.0. Join over 2 million people worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you, 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code BCP20 at manscaped.com. Imagine shaving with a sleek, well-designed, and optimized trimmer that makes shaving time your favorite time in the bathroom. I'm one of the first people who got to try the 4.0, and honestly, y'all, I'm blown away by the performance. The craftsmanship and the details on the 4.0 are next level. Before I started using the 4.0, I actually would opt for waxes, and that's because one time while trimming myself when I was a little bit younger, I accidentally clipped myself a little too close and caused myself to bleed. But once I got the 4.0, it was easy to see that Manscaped engineered the ultimate growing and body trimmer by focusing on intelligent functionality and an incredibly comfortable grooming experience. Their fourth generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents. And thanks to their advanced skin safe technology, I feel so much more confident in trimming and shaving, and I'm not afraid that I'm gonna cut myself now. The upgraded trimmer includes a multi-function on-off switch that can engage a travel lock, and it also gives you the ability to turn on a 4000K LED spotlight on and off when needed for a more precise shave. Honestly, y'all, that's the winner right there, because you need to see to get all them little hairs. The 4.0 lawnmower even allows for you to customize your trim through additional guard lengths with sizes 1 to 4, you know, in case you want to keep it a little bushy or take it all the way down to the skin. And probably the most convenient thing about this entire trimmer is that it has wireless charging. The new wireless charging system uses electromagnetic induction, which can help with battery life and length to last longer. If you've been shaving with the same below-the-waist trimmer on your face, you've been doing it wrong. That's nasty, first and foremost, but no person wants to end up with pubes on their mouth. Let's be honest here. It's time to get your own hair and body trimmer with Manscaped to make me time the best time and enhance your confidence. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code BCP20 at manscaped.com. Manscaped makes grooming easy, so go ahead and get yourself a trimmer. Like I said, it's changed my life. All right, we're back. And so since we're talking about music that I've been listening to since taking my break from the back catalog podcast, there's no way to start off than with a classic album that I've just been bumping a lot lately. And it's actually Future Sex Love Sounds by Justin Timberlake. Now, the reason why I've been getting into this album so much is because, I don't know if you guys know, but I joined the team over at Obligatory and started writing reviews and giving rankings for albums, both new and old, for fun, essentially. I really wanted you guys to be able to see my writing ability and to be able to support me in another way and also support the team at Obligatory because they are so nice and so kind, and I want to go and enhance and help out in any way I can. So this past week I wrote about Future Sex Love Sounds, and because of that I've been bumping it heavy. I do already own the album on vinyl, which means I have to really like it because I don't really just buy any vinyl there is. I like to buy specific ones. So I bought Future Sex Love Sounds a couple of years ago. And honestly, I didn't play it as much until garnering my thoughts for the review for Obligatory. But in listening to it, I really realized that Justin Timberlake and Timbaland and Danja were really creating a sound that would shape and mold a lot of pop music in the mid to late 2000s. Whether we're talking about the production on Sexy Back or songs like Love Stoned, it was just an amalgamation of a bunch of different sounds that I think Justin really wanted to explore. And coming off the back of Justified, which a lot of people were heralding as a fluke because it did have four massive singles, but the entire album didn't sound a cohesive piece of work, Justin took that to heart, took his ambition back into the studio, linked up with Timbaland again because he did produce on some of Justified, and then added Danger to the mix. And honestly, I don't think there's a single skip on Future Sex Love Sounds. There's some funk and soul, some traditional R&B with Until the End of Time with Beyonce, who completely washed Justin on that song. There's Summer Love, which is one of my favorite pop R&B songs to exist ever. And honestly, it's just a good album. I know, it's fuck Justin Timberlake for all the things he's done to Janet Jackson and Britney Spears over the years, but this is the one album that I absolutely have to keep, y'all. So if you haven't listened to Future Sex Love Sounds, I would advise you to go and listen to it. The songs that I would recommend the most are actually Love Stone, What Goes Around, Chop Me Up, which has a 3-6 Mafia feature on it, come on now, and then Until the End of Time, of course, and Summer Love. The next album I've been listening to a lot is actually an album from February of this year, and it's called Collapse and Sunbeams by Arlo Parks. Arlo is a newcomer on the scene, and she's from the UK, and she's making some of the best indie folk and indie pop music I've heard since probably Tracy Chapman in the 80s. Collapse and Sunbeams itself tackles issues like watching your friends go through depression on your own life and within your own self, anxiety, and what it is to love someone from afar, and dealing with sexuality even. I think Arlo Parks is an amazing writer, and it goes to show in her influences being people like Sylvia Plath and Joni Mitchell. So I definitely recommend this album. My favorite songs from this album are Too Good, Caroline, Black Dog, and also the big hit, which is Eugene. I had heard of Eugene in the past, and actually it came out back in February of 2020 and was one of my most listened to songs on Spotify of 2020. So when the album came out, I was perusing in my local vinyl shop. Shout out to Russ and Wax Records. I know you guys are listening. Thank you guys for the greatest recommendations all the time. And they told me her album had came out, and I went and bought it. And honestly, you know, I was amazed. The writing was consistent. The cohesiveness of the album was great. And this plays so well on like a dreary day or when it's raining outside. And so I pop this thing on every time it starts to rain in Florida, which could be today, tomorrow, yesterday, or in 5 minutes, as you guys know if you live here or you don't, and I'm telling you right now. But it is one of the greatest albums of this year, and I am so upset at myself for leaving it off my half year list, because it's gonna make my top 10 list. And I don't know why I forgot it, but this is absolutely on the list. And honestly, because of Arlo Parks, I've been getting into a lot more artists from the UK who I'm going to continue talking about on this episode right now. The next album that I've been listening to relentlessly, just on repeat, is Sometimes I Might Be Introvert by Little Sims. And if you see my Twitter or my TikTok or even my Instagram, you know I will not take my foot off the pedal with this one. To me, this might end up being album of the year. Between the instrumentals that Sims chose with these luscious string sections and these horn breakdowns, and even sometimes these Motown-esque, very low-key R&B beats that she's picking, this album, plus her pin game, is just one of the most top-tier albums of the year. She's tackling a lot of ideas and subjects here that I think is a fresh perspective, considering she's a Black woman from London that is also a rapper, whether it be the abandonment issues that were caused by her father leaving her, or what it's like to grow up being a Black Londoner. Also, her embracing her full entire breadth as a Black woman, the violence that a lot of London youth experience, which I personally needed to know more about, and especially from the perspective of a Black woman. I also love on this album that Sims takes a lot of critics to task about calling her underappreciated and undervalued, because she's not. Sims says on this album that even though she might label herself as an introvert, she still talks her shit. She's still that bitch. She's still gonna be as arrogant as she wants to be. She just feels as though she doesn't have to proclaim it all the time in the public. I think this product is a perfect example of how you craft a hip hop album in 2021 without it being too long, but also getting your message across in a necessary time frame. I can't wait to get this thing on vinyl, because it's gonna sound so great on the speaker system that I have, especially considering that it is more influenced by old school sounds and vibes. Another album I really wanted to highlight was Charlotte Day Wilson's Alpha, which came out in July, and I missed reviewing it. Charlotte Day Wilson is from Toronto, Canada, and is a queer woman who is out here talking about how sick she is about love, and I'm obsessed with it. She's got this very deep but very big voice, and it just sounds so soothing, especially when it's in this melancholic tone. I am obsessed with this album, and even though it's not perfect, I definitely think her voice shines through. The instrumentals she picked are reminiscent of like contemporary R&B, but she even delves into some pop a little bit on songs like Keep Moving. And she has some great features from Bad Bad Not Good, who had a massive song on TikTok this year. And also Sid from the Internet, who, if y'all know me, you know how much of a fan I am of the Internet, and specifically Sid's first studio album by herself called Finn from back in 2017. I think this album was a solid first start. She's also featured on the brand new Drake album. And honestly, I'm so excited for what she has to come. I think she has one of the most beautiful voices out right now. And so go listen to this album, specifically Take Care with Sid, Keep Moving, I Can Only Whisper with Bad Bad Not Good. Also, Mountains is a great song, and Adam Complex. To wrap up the music portion of this thing, I just want to talk about some songs and some albums that I'm very highly anticipating that are coming out very, very soon. So the day that this releases, it's Thursday, September 9th, which means the next day, Friday, September 10th, is New Music Friday. And there's supposed to be a slew of good music coming out this Friday, including Ari Lennox's brand new song that's produced by Jermaine Dupri called Pressure, Yebba's new album. And if you know me, you know I am a massive fan of Yebba and everything Yebba has literally ever done or touched, specifically her song with Lucky Day. Kacey Musgraves' big anticipated album that is a follow-up to 2018's Golden Hour is coming out, and it's called Starcross, along with a film. Honestly, Kacey Musgraves could put anything on an album and I'm probably gonna buy it and be obsessed with it, because that woman is just a very talented singer and songwriter. She really pulled me back into the country world hard in 2018 with Golden Hour. And so I'm so excited for this follow-up, simply because they made the breakup of their divorce seem so amicable. And this entire album is about like heartache and revenge and vindictiveness and things like that. So I am excited to see what Casey has to say about this entire situation of hers. Ali and AJ are also releasing a new single called Get Over Here, which if you know me, you know I've listed their album as one of my favorite albums at the half year mark. Troye Sivan is coming back with Angel Baby, and Troye Sivan's Blue Neighborhood album was one of my favorite albums of all time. I think it was a solid debut. I enjoyed his second album as well, but not as much. But I'm excited for him to be back. Some more gay representation. We can always use that. Ed Sheeran is also releasing a new song called Shivers on Friday. And while I've been disappointed with everything he's done for this Equal drop, mainly the name of the album, because he promised he wouldn't do any more mathematic signs because he thought it was going to be a trilogy, but he changed his mind now. I still am excited to hear what he's got to offer with this new track. After she packed out her show in New York a couple of weeks ago, I'm excited to hear this new Azealia Banks track called Tarantula to see what improvements she's made. And if she has anything new to offer us, if she gives us another bop, if she can finally step into being the superstar she's supposed to be. And then finally, probably my most anticipated song that was supposed to be the song of the summer that is now coming out 2 days before her first performance is Chloe Bailey's Have Mercy, which is coming out Friday. And she's performing on Sunday at the VMAs for the first time ever. I really want this to live up to the hype that was garnered 2-3 months ago. And by the looks of the artwork, I think it will. But I'm still very, very unsure, but I have faith in Murda Beats and Chloe that they will give me something that I will get my life to and that the performance is going to be immaculate. And that's all I really want from her. All right, so something I don't do often is talk about what I'm watching on television. For those of you who don't know, I do take breaks from listening to music from time to time. It's not often, but it still happens. And lately, I've been watching a lot more TV than I usually have been, but what I've been watching has been super informative and good and interesting. First and foremost, I watched Respect with Jennifer Hudson as Aretha Franklin, and while I appreciated that this was the version that Aretha wanted out to the public, I will say that I did watch the Cynthia Erivo version, and I think the story that is told there is probably more true to what actually happened. However, I do prefer Jennifer Hudson playing Aretha because she's sounding much more like Aretha, looks much more like Aretha, and is the person that Aretha ultimately chose. My issue with so many biopics that we've been seeing lately, and just in general, is that usually the family wants to tell these glowing, amazing, like truthful and triumphant stories of their loved one that passed away. And while their story might truly be something of triumph, because even in Aretha's case, I think overcoming just her entire childhood and, you know, those first 9 albums not doing well is a triumphant story and one worth telling. But I think leaving out important parts like the Genius series covered is where we get things kind of messed up. Because I really don't feel as though if the truth of how Aretha Franklin was as a human being was told, it would affect her standing as the Queen of Soul. At the end of the day, the woman made incredible music. At the end of the day, the woman is important to the landscape of music history. And I just don't feel as though finding out that she might have stole one of her most popular songs from her sister is detrimental to that legacy. Or finding out that her father could have potentially been the father to her first 2 kids is detrimental to her legacy. I feel like if anything, there's more truth and power in those stories to talk about just how hard her life actually was than to make it seem as though she basically went from a child to singing in church to her 9 albums flopping to becoming the Aretha Franklin we know and love. I just feel as though the Jennifer Hudson story skipped over a lot, and I understand why. Again, you want people to think about your loved one in a positive way, but at the same time, I want to know everything. And I think a great example of that is Rick James' documentary. So if you don't know, Showtime actually did a documentary on Rick James and his entire life called Bitchin'. And truthfully, it was amazing. It was so in detail and so in depth. I didn't know that Rick James was even from Buffalo, New York before this. So to learn all these things and see him and how he grew up and a lot of the people that were around him, and to learn the long-storied history of racism even in Buffalo when he was growing up was interesting to me. I think Rick James is one of the most polarizing people in music history, and to learn more about him, his addictions, his issues with women, and some of his behavior and why he was the way he was, and even some of the geniusness behind his music, is super interesting. I think he's a legend that, you know, since his passing, I'm not saying he's forgotten, because he's not at all, but I think he's someone that people would be interested in hearing their story if they knew that it was available. And so I'm here to tell you, Rick James's story is available, and it's called Bitchin', and it's produced by Showtime if you want to watch it. Another show that I've been watching a lot lately is actually The L Word, The New Generation. And I mean, can you be any more gay? No. I, of course, watched the original series from, you know, back in the early 2000s to the late 2000s. And I watched it while it was on TV, even though I shouldn't have been, because I was still under 18 years old during most of the series. And I know my parents wouldn't have approved of it, to be honest, but I watched it anyway. And I thought the original series was good. There wasn't enough black people in it. There was not enough trans representation in it. But for what it was at the time, it was all right. This new incarnation of it is still flawed, but I really enjoy it. I think the storylines are a little bit better. Again, I always think it could deserve and use more black people. And when I mean black, I mean full black. Dark skinned people for sure. And a lot more trans people, I think. You know, I know there's at least two main characters that are trans, but, you know, the more the merrier. I've been enjoying the storylines. I think it's very interesting, everything that's been going on. I don't want to give too much away about it, but I think everyone who's been featured in the show is great. I just want to say bring back Carmen, please, and thank you, because I love Sarah Shahi, number one. And number two, Shane and Carmen are my favorite couple from the original show, and I think it would be interesting for them to meet up. So many years after Shane left Carmen on their wedding day, bring Carmen back, please and thank you. But The L Word, Generation Q, is a new piece of media for gay people to want to see and want to be a part of. And I think it's a decent representation of the queer community as we know in 2021. And I think it tackles a lot of issues that queer people struggle with. And so I'm recommending that everybody watch it, because to me, it's pretty good. Ah, the last thing I wanted to talk about that I've been watching a lot of, aside from wrestling, y'all know I love wrestling, and to see AEW taking off in the way that it has by signing Bryan Danielson and Adam Cole and CM Punk, Andrade El Idolo, and a whole bunch of other stars is amazing. So aside from wrestling, because I'm obviously obsessed, I have been watching a lot of old school classic teen television. So a couple of years ago, I wanted to go through a lot of like the 90s and early 2000s teen television shows that I might not have watched, or like was too young to understand, or just wanted to rewatch so I can understand better as an adult, as an adult in my mid 20s at least. And so with that, I watched shows like 90210. I watched Melrose Place. I went back and watched Saved by the Bell again. And stuff like that. One Tree Hill, again, for like the billionth time. But the show that I've been watching a lot of lately is actually the last one I had to watch that I didn't watch as a kid. And that is The OC. And I just want to say, this shit is so frustrating. I'm a big fan of everyone on the show. I think the idea and concept was super interesting. It's really cool to see people that like I like now as an adult that are adult actors be on the show as well, like Adam Brody or Rachel Bilson, even Misha Barton. But the show is so frustrating. Like the storylines, the way they're written, the way that Marissa was never able to breathe frustrates me. But I still love the show. I still think it's a great show. And I am deep into season one right now. For those of you wondering, I do know what happens already, so there's no spoilers here, but I do know what happens in the series, because I'm that person that if the show's already over, I don't care about seeing spoilers. Like, I had how many years to watch this? I don't care. But I'm interested to see how it gets to those points in the show, that those hallmark moments of the show. And I would say watch it. I mean, if you like white people drama, watch it. I think it's interesting. The last movie I wanted to talk about that I recommend everyone watch or see or do something with is actually Shang-Chi. I watched it last weekend, and it's a phenomenal movie. I think it's one of the most interesting and original MCU movies to come out. For those of you who don't know, I am a big MCU fan. seen every single movie, both during the timeline of release, and went back and watched the chronological order according to the MCU timeline. So Shang-Chi is great. I love it. I know a lot of people were trying to boycott it because everything with Awkwafina. And if you've seen my Instagram, you've seen me say that despite Awkwafina's transgressions, which if you didn't know, Awkwafina has used a black scent for the first half of her career. When she started out as a comedian who would like rap, she used the black scent. She's from Queens, but she's from Forest Hill, Queens. And so she doesn't sound like that. And the proof that she doesn't sound like that is that the second that she got booked in the show The Farewell and started doing things like SNL and all these very white-led corporate media things, she dropped the black scent, except for Crazy Rich Asians, because they needed a comedic relief character, aka Harry, the person who's a caricature of black people. And so now she's doing press for Shang-Chi and her show Nora from Queens, which again, in Nora from Queens, again, no accent, even though that's supposed to be closest to her real life. There's also barely any black people in it. But now that she's doing that, when she was doing press, she said that she would never do an Asian accent because it felt like minstrelsy to her and it's disrespectful to her culture. And it just goes to show that she's very self-aware about her culture and who she is and what she's done and the transgressions that she's committed to black people in the black community. But to be honest with y'all, I don't want an apology from Awkwafina. I feel as though an apology at this point would seem so disingenuous and so inauthentic. And so it's fine that she keeps the apology. I hope she does things to help platform black people with this new platform that she's given, because frankly, we built your career. And so we deserve that. Not saying you didn't work hard, but you worked hard and used a black scent. So we deserve at least some sort of comeuppance for that, whether you start introducing black people into your show or give black people a bigger platform with your media company. We deserve that, because again, that black scent is what got you noticed in the first place. But to talk about Shang-Chi, I think people should still watch it despite Awkwafina being in it, because there are a lot of Asian and Asian American and just Asian people in general in that movie that deserve the attention and acclaim that they've been getting this weekend, but they deserve even more. So I would say, don't let the actions of one dickhead control how you feel about this movie or if it should be watched, because it absolutely should. If you're gonna boycott Awkwafina, boycott Nora from Queens. Don't boycott Shang-Chi. There's plenty of deserving actors that did not use a black scent to come up that are featured in that film that deserve recognition. So please watch it. It's an incredible film. It is so well put together. And the last show I want to talk about is actually a show that I'm anticipating coming back, not one that's out already, and that is Insecure. It comes back on October 24th, and it's the final season. And I think I've said this before, but Insecure was the first time I saw myself as an adult represented in media. I didn't see anyone that was living my adult life until I saw Issa and Yvonne Orji basically being these young mid to late 20 somethings professionals that were just experiencing life, that weren't caricatures of black people or weren't snobby professionals either. They were just regular black folks, if that makes sense. Just black people living their lives, not being caricatures, just authentic black people, however that may come out. And while I'm sad that the show is ending for sure, because it was such a hallmark representation for young black people in media, I know everything that Issa Rae is cooking up is going to continue in that same vein. And I'm super excited to see what she's going to say, what she's going to do, and just how this whole thing's going to shake out and play out. I think the show is super important to the landscape of black folks and black women. And while I don't think it's a perfect show by any means, I do think it's important to us and for us. That, along with Atlanta, did a lot of things for young black people when they came out in 2016. And so I hope that this isn't the end of black shows like this. I hope that we get a lot more that have drama and comedy and touch on the experiences of black folks. I really do. So I'm super excited for this. Again, I'm sad that it's the final season, but I know all good things must come to an end. And I'm glad that Issa represents that there's finality in TV shows and they don't need to run for 50 seasons like Grey's Anatomy did. So to wrap this all up, the last thing I really wanted to talk about is my TikTok and my TikTok presence and everything that's going on over there. No, I'm not leaving TikTok. I plan on not moving off of TikTok. I know I said once I started this podcast and got enough followers and support that I would leave TikTok because they were messing with my views. But in the last few months, I've thought about it and I love the app itself so much. Even when they are messing with me and my views, I still love creating on that app and I love short form content as much as I love long form content. And so I don't have any intentions on leaving just yet. I think I will always keep a foot there because that is the platform that helped me grow and helped me be able to have this podcast. But what I do want to say is I've been seeing a lot of people's comments lately about how they aren't liking my takes or they think they're off kilter. And I want y'all to know something. We don't have to agree on everything. I don't expect us to agree on everything. I don't want us to agree on everything. If you're coming to me, for the right opinion on everything, you're going to be sorely mistaken and you're going to be disappointed. So don't create that expectation of me to always be right. I have missed in my life before and I will undoubtedly miss again. And I've gotten things wrong before and had to issue corrections. I've said things that I probably shouldn't have. And that's okay. That's all a part of life and growing. But all I ask is that don't put any expectations on me to be the only source of media that y'all consume when it comes to music or anything. You can put the expectation on me to always be authentic with you guys about who I am and myself. You can put the expectation on me that I will always try to get as much information correct as possible because I do. But don't put the expectation on me to always have the right opinion because life is about growing and learning. And sometimes the sentiment I hold today might not be the sentiment I hold tomorrow or in 2 years or in 3 years. I like to think that a lot of times I'm on the right side of the fence on things, but at the same time, sometimes I miss some nuances because there's some more people that aren't as privileged as I am that I'm not considering. And that's an oversight by me. And that's something I have to unlearn. You know, you have to unlearn your biases, and trying to do that is not an easy process, but it's worth it in the end. And I think doing that repeatedly over my life has been what's caused me to like not miss in y'all's perception at this point. But it's still a continuing thing, especially as we see more people who identify differently as we do. So all I want to say is thank you guys for your support on TikTok. I hope you continue to support me there. I hope you continue to support me here. Content, basically. So in order to close this out, I do want to talk just about the direction of this podcast. I am still going to keep up the same formats that I was keeping before for the most part. I still want to do deep dives into discographies. That's still going to happen on the last week of the month. I still want to tell you guys about important moments in pop culture. That's still going to happen. I still want to do interviews with people. That's still going to happen. But I think with the album reviews, I'm going to be doing it in a more informal format like this. I'll be giving you thoughts off the top of my head, not really written out, and it'll feel much more like the TikToks. So I hope you appreciate that. And, you know, as always, you can leave suggestions on the Instagram page for things I should cover or things you want me to talk about. Make sure you're following us there at Back Catalog Pod. Catalog spelled the American way, CATALOG. Make sure you're following me on Instagram on my personal page, Pablo.thedon. Follow me on Twitter, PabloTheDon with two E's. And make sure you follow me on TikTok at PabloTheDon, just all one word. Thank you guys so much for enjoying this episode. Make sure you leave some feedback in the comments, give us a rating, and follow us everywhere. And also, if you want to subscribe to the Patreon, there's extra perks there. You get to pick some extra albums that I might talk about on album review weeks. So subscribe to the Patreon. It's anywhere between $2 and $10. Thank you guys so much for joining me for another episode of the Back Catalog Podcast. My name is Pablo, and I hope to see you soon.
Should I come through? Can I come kick? Can I come kick with you? 2 a.m. again and I'm thinking about. It's 2 a.m. and I'm stuck up thinking about the last time you were behind me. All in the mirror, I can see everything you will be doing. I can see everything looking at me like you love me. No, you don't love me. never care long as I come first. You come on time, I reverse. You rewind, do it again. Stuck in time, do it again. All you ever say is come and see me for once. Come and see me for once. You don't ever come to me, hey. You don't ever come. Why you never come? Will you ever come?